Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the can't cook, categorically won't cook voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning, Richard.
That's not very nice.
True, though.
Well, for someone who is a winner of Come Dine With Me, I would disagree.
Fascinates me this, because you did win that show.
I did.
How did you win that show? Did you cook?
There's couples come dine with me. I didn't cook at all, no. I haven't cooked in 10 years, Matthew.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Honestly, the last time you picked up a pot and pan, have you ever in your life picked up a pot and pan?
There was a period of time when I did cook the odd specialty. Normally rice and chicken. I was quite good at that. Kind of rice, I think rice was, it was 10 minutes. Then it got even easier. It was like a minute in the microwave. It was fantastic. And chicken, fried that up and put like a korma sauce on it or something.
Korma sauce. So chicken curry. Curry and rice. Yes, this is not just a takeaway.
But then I realized, and this is, I suppose, where I'm going to give words of wisdom now. So to all the young goalkeepers listening in, I'm sure they're going to take something from this. I then realized that the amount of time you spend cooking, could that time be used more wisely? I watch you in the kitchen. We spent a lot of time together recently, kind of been thrust upon each other for the last few weeks. And I watch you and I watch how you operate. Fascinating creature you are. And I see how long you spend cooking. And I can't help but feel, what a waste of time. So much you could do in those hours and hours that you're slaving over that stove, where just think how productive you could be in that time.
So you've just sat down now before we've done this with some form of delivery yet again. The door is just constantly going. The buzzer's constantly going. Your app's constantly buzzing because someone's arriving at the door to deliver you some food. What was it today?
Just Subway.
A Subway. So,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
So, I mean, this is the other thing. In fact, this is a true story, and this is where a lot of this comes from, was a man named Gianluca Vialli was my manager at Watford. Now, he had the mentality of, was it live to eat or eat to live? That was it, eat to live he was about. So he enjoyed his food, from what I understand, but he was very much that your food is just there to fuel you, whereas I know other people have the mentality of live to eat. They love their food. Everything's about food. But then if you have the mentality of, what was the other one? Eat to live, that one, then actually it's a process. You know, you're fueling your body for what it is that you're going to do. So in a day, if you've got things you want to achieve, you want to accomplish, you want to try and free up every single minute you can in order to move forward. As a young goalkeeper, you want to spend every possible minute working on your game. There's so many different areas of your game you can work on, technically, tactically, physically, psychologically, and there's you cooking. That's the point that we're trying to make here.
So what do you do then in this current... Because what did you do as a player?
Yeah, no, I did, in fairness, cook. Not properly cook. Like I mentioned what I made pasta, 2 minutes in a pan, especially if you buy the right one, it's 2 minutes and then you put a sauce over it. So I did that. So no, I never really went down. Now we're in this beautiful world of convenience and it's now saved so many extra minutes every single day.
So what do you do then? In that time where you're saying I'm slaving over a hot stove, wasting my time, creating a sumptuous delight, what are you doing in that time then where you've ordered your food and you're waiting for your food to arrive?
Oh, I'm just busy. I'm just making phone calls. I am just watching goalkeepers. That is what I'm doing, Matthew.
So do you enjoy food? If the option was given to you that you could just pop a pill and that was your food for the day, a food pill, if you could... pop a tablet or some sort of effervescent.
Yes.
If you could do that instead, would you do that?
On a regular day, yes. I love going out to eat, though. So this is the other part to this, in that if I could go out to eat most evenings, I would. In fact, I do a lot of evenings because that's something I do really enjoy doing. But if I'm at home, then it comes back to eat to live. I am just eating something to make me feel good. So I want something that's quick, easy, and makes me feel good. Simple as that. So if there was a pill that did that, then yeah, perfect.
Again, a food pill that we're talking about. Yeah.
Not a pill that makes me feel good. A pill that has all my nutrients.
A nutrient-based pill.
Yes.
Okay. I just think that every time you do this takeaway stuff, it's just like junk food every day. Now, for me, I get it because sometimes it's nice to have a takeaway, but that's very much a treat for me as is going out. So if I was to do that every day, it completely ruins the novelty.
Are you calling Nando's junk food, Matthew?
I mean, the most overrated restaurant in the history of Britain.
I mean, we're kind of going down paths that have nothing to do with goalkeeping anymore. I'm very wary. But no, I will have takeaways that I consider to be not healthy, of course, but healthy enough to get by.
Okay. Lovely. All right. Well, we've got plenty coming up, haven't we, to do with goalkeeping.
Bring this back towards goalkeeping.
Go on. You have brought it back in a way.
The diet of a goalkeeper. Yeah. The diet of a goalkeeper, which I'm assuming, not I'm assuming, I knew what it was back then, but it is obviously being a power athlete, you are very much anaerobic based. So more often than not, you don't want to be bulky though at the same time. So it needs to be that real lean power.
So a different diet. On a serious note, a different diet to an outfielder? Really?
Well, I'd say so. I think goalkeepers going into a game, and a lot of goalkeepers will see this differently. I know someone like a Ben Foster doesn't really care. And I kind of get why, because ultimately, you're not going to need that much stamina for a game. You walk a couple of kilometres, but you're not going to need stamina. You're just going to need to be explosive. So it's all about having those fast twitch fibers, whatever it might be, where you are so explosive in your movements. So does that mean you eat differently? I think so. I think outfield players will carb load. I don't think you necessarily need to do that for a goalkeeper. I know psychologically a lot of goalkeepers like to feel light when they play, so may eat that little bit less at lunch. So yeah, I think it would be a slightly different food routine.
Well done.
We brought it back round.
We did.
We went miles away and we returned.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Only one place to start, Richard. Edouard Mendy at Brentford. Brentford 0, Chelsea 1. 17 shots on goal from Brentford, 7 saves from Mendy in inspired form. They could have been there all day and not score past him.
Loved this and hated this in the same measure. Hated this as an ex-Brentford player. Watching it, absolutely loved the last 20 minutes, I have to say. One of the most exciting passages of football that I've seen for a long period of time. And I just was buzzing off Mr. Mendy, because I thought his body language, his energy, just he's a winner, such a winner. And actually where we spoke a lot about his history and his journey in English football, you know, started off, couldn't put a foot wrong, then all of a sudden the tide started to turn. But now I think that it's settled, and it's settled in a really good place, in that everybody now can see what he brings. You know, we know what his strengths are. We know that he's dominant aerially. We know when it comes to shot stopping, he is so flexible, powerful, fantastic reactions. And for me, it was all summed up in that final save. You know, we talk about 3 or 4 other brilliant saves at key moments, coming out, spreading, etc. But that save in the final moments where overhead kick, 6 yards out with power, going in the roof of the net. And it's just everything about it. It's his position. He's very close to the line, gives himself maximum reaction time. He's reasonably upright, predicting that it might be that little bit higher. The speed of reaction to get his hand up, the choice of hand to go with. A lot, I think, go with the other hand and probably don't make the save. So he goes top hand. And then the agility, flexibility in order to get himself up over the bar. Just everything about it, just a thing of beauty. And to do that in the final minute of a game, very few goalkeepers will have a moment like that in their career, but Mendy is starting to make a habit of it.
And it really was, wasn't it, a game where you thought they are not going to score past him, not at any stage.
We called it with about 10 minutes to go. They're just not going to beat him. And I know it's an easy thing, and it's an easy thing to say now in hindsight, but as you're watching the game, you could feel that. It was all Brentford. Credit to Brentford in that then Chelsea, a couple of players are going down with suspected injuries, you know, trying to kill the clock, which was very unlike Chelsea, I guess, in some way. Certainly going to a club like Brentford. I think that's where Brentford will take huge heart. But yeah, for all the chance, they still created so many chances, but he was in inspired form.
A good head save in there too. Yeah. We like to see a head save.
Yes, we do. And that was, came out well, spread well. And yeah, you know, the classic one is, oh, very brave. Well, not really, because ultimately you don't know where the ball's going to go, but brave in the sense that he's come down the line, got himself into a good position and created a very powerful shape, you know, that didn't allow many holes through him, many places where they could have scored the goal. And ultimately he's made a very, very good save with his head.
And the attention towards him after the game was brilliant. We love to see that. But I do feel often on this podcast, and actually often throughout the Goalkeepers Union, when a goalkeeper does get credit and there is goalkeeping punditry that's positive, we also come back to it and go, it's still not quite right what
quite
you're saying.
Got it.
And it was Micah Richards, wasn't it, on Match of the Day. And he was loving him, saying how great he was, but it was all just a bit basic.
Yeah, it was a bit like he knew nothing about goalkeeping, but I don't want to criticise because it was so positive. Yeah. But it was kind of, yeah, listening to him, someone that's just started playing in goal. And, you know, I think there was, in fact, even though you've got the comments written down.
He was basically, the long and short of it was, look at him there. I mean, he's so good.
So good. And he's got a hand and it's kind of gone over the bar. And then he's quick off his line. It's just so good.
Kasper Schmeichel's told me about making yourself big, and look at him there, he's so big.
Yeah, I know, it wasn't the most insightful thing that Kasper Schmeichel's told him, really. No, look, but yeah, again, don't want to mock too heavily, because it was very positive. I loved hearing what Ben Chilwell had to say about him as well. This comes back actually to that point where you've got managers and players that respect your goalkeeper. Is it just coincidence that when you've got that environment, the goalkeeper tends to do well? Yet when you've got the managers, the goalkeeping hating managers, which we all know a few out there, it tends to be that they have goalkeepers that don't perform so well. And I've got no doubt that they're linked. And certainly at Chelsea at the moment, you've got such a nice environment. The players respect him. The manager respects him. And he is performing very, very well.
And Antonio Rudiger after the game saying, someone please explain how this guy has not been nominated for a Ballon d'Or. I don't think I've ever heard a backlash on this as much for a goalkeeper not being in the list.
And it's just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And it will continue to get stronger if he keeps doing what he's doing. The key thing for me as well is that, you know, often, and I'll try and explain this, but often you can come out good games, bad games, but you have moments where maybe you've had a good game, but you know you've had two or three moments you got away with that on another day may have ended up in a goal. He's not really having moments either, where there are plenty of other goalkeepers in the Premier League and other leagues where you know they're getting away with the odd thing here and there, but I just feel like the consistency of his game at the moment is very, very high.
And before the game, before we move on to the next game, before the game, there was a segment on David Raya, which was good to watch, where Sky focused on the fact that he had the most successful long passes in the league. Prior to the game, it was 73. That was 11 more than Nick Pope in second place. Ruben Neves, the Wolves midfielder, in third spot with 56. And then Tim Krul and Hugo Lloris on 49.
Well, it's interesting in that it signifies a slight change in style for Brentford, in that they certainly haven't been that direct. But the thing that does interest me a lot is the fact Nick Pope's second. No disrespect to Burnley, but we know they're a direct team and Nick Pope does tend to go long. And it's not always necessarily firing it into a winger's chest. It might just be that he goes long. Sometimes they win it, sometimes they don't. I suppose the difference with David Raya is that when he's going long, and we've seen it on so many occasions, it is with such precision. You know, it's real top quality distribution when he is going long. And I also think that they've seen that with a lot of teams they're now playing against, with Ivan Toney up there, with the quality of distribution that David Raya has got, they are able to get into the final third very, very quickly. And I think this is where, I suppose, a lot of teams go wrong in that they try and play. But actually, if you can get there quicker, of course, you should get there quicker. And I think that Brentford this season, the more I'm watching them, they're playing really effective football. And David Raya has been a key part of that.
Over to Carrow Road next. Norwich 0, Brighton 0. And Tim Krul, good save from Adam Lallana. Incredible save from a Leandro Trossard volley too.
And I've actually got that one down as my save of the day because I really enjoyed that. The big deflection on there, wasn't there, where it's going over his head, got back. And I know we shouldn't bring age into this, but you know the fact that he is that little bit older, but the agility that he's shown to get back on himself, and it's almost one of them where you kind of dislocate your shoulder in order to get that extra inch or two to get those fingertips, which in the end was the difference between it being a goal and not. And to do it against his old club as well, I'm sure would have been extra satisfying to keep a clean sheet. A very, very good performance.
Pen or no pen on Neil Mopay, by the way?
I mean, for me, no pen. I don't think there's enough. I know this is probably one of those where we're going to disagree, because I know you've got that whole theory of if a goalkeeper gets within a yard of someone, maybe it could affect them and maybe they might have tripped them up, so therefore they have to throw themselves to the ground. I've got that pretty much.
It's a tone in your voice here, isn't it?
I've got that pretty much spot on, haven't I? It's along those lines. No, for me, no pen.
Okay. All right, we'll move on. That's fine.
Yeah, you don't want
to... I don't feel like I need to. Neil Mopay clearly tried to stay on his feet, didn't he? It was one of those where it then looks like a dive. I don't know. Tough one. But there was contact. So I don't know. Is that a pen or is that not a pen? Contact.
Let's see if the listeners want to decide. I'm pretty sure they're going to side with me.
Okay. Robert Sanchez got away with one in that one, by the way. Horrendous finish from Josh Sargent. The Norris. That's powder puff.
What was he doing?
I don't know.
But we will not comment on that because that is outfielders.
It is. Hypocritical.
Absolutely. We're not going to comment on that. Although, as goalkeepers, we can pass a football and we know how to pass a football. So maybe we can comment. Although it was barely a pass. I mean, just little bit more pace on it, surely. But no, Robert Sanchez did get away with one. I thought the decision was I was questioning myself on this because some people say, why has he come out that far? The defenders arguably were in control of the situation. So this is one where I'm a little bit sat on the fence. I think you can probably do both. And what I mean by that is he could have stayed deep. And if the defenders do get there first, they play it back to him and he plays out and that's danger averted and they get possession of the ball. The fact that he did come and he got there first, you could argue then is good goalkeeping. The bit that wasn't good goalkeeping was the execution. Technically, I think if he would have that moment again, he probably wouldn't come out and almost strike it with his laces, it looked like. It wasn't particularly good technically once he got out to that point, but I thought the decision was fine to get there.
We saw a few changes at the weekend as well because of the international weekend. So a couple of second string goalkeepers came in, or number two goalkeepers. Don't really have a second string anymore. Mm. Used to use that for reserve football. True. So number two goalkeeper, Zach Steffen, one of those coming in for Man City. They beat Burnley 2-0. A big save with Max Cornet clean through. And after the game, Pep did say, Pep Guardiola, that he is a much better goalkeeper now than when he arrived.
Okay. No, and that's nice to hear. Certainly as a backup goalkeeper, it's lovely to hear comments like that. And it's always tough, I think, if you're stepping in for someone like Edison. Look, we all know, obviously, what Edison brings. So to step in for someone like him can never be easy. And certainly a game like this where, and I know a lot of you guys listening in, you'll appreciate this, and that you're stepping into a game that on paper you should win. And had they have scored in this moment, it would have been very interesting to see how the game turned out. So credit to him, because this is the key moment that in the end effectively guarantees victory. And I thought it was excellent goalkeeping. And actually, interestingly, he was similar to what Edison would have done in this moment. He comes quite far down the line, produces a very, very good shape, got close enough to the ball, and in the end made it very difficult to score and made a very good one-on-one save.
Leicester 4, Manchester United 2. Kasper Schmeichel did say after the game, I thought David De Gea was man of the match. So that says a lot, doesn't it, about Leicester's performance. But a good save from Yuri Tielemans onto the post. Then a good save with his feet, a classic De Gea from Patson Daka. He also denied the same man, I think, but that was when Soyuncu scored the rebound.
I'd have to disagree. I would say more than a good save onto the post, Matthew. I think you've really underplayed that, I must say. Phenomenal save. Really powerful, explosive to his right. That was going right in the corner with pace, and it is just fingertips. Just a beautiful, beautiful save. I know I make this comment a lot, but there's not a lot of goalkeepers that make that save. And it's good. We're seeing David De Gea, certainly, in my opinion, back to his best. As you mentioned, a couple of classic De Gea saves. Not a great deal he could have done with the one that then ends up as a goal. I thought it was a decent enough reaction to get his left foot to it. I know some goalkeepers may go with their hands, whether they hold it or not, I'm not sure. But on the whole, another solid performance.
Watford 0, Liverpool 5, Claudio Ranieri in his first game in charge of your old club. And Quivín Kelleher in for his third Liverpool start. And a great save later on from Ismail Assar.
It was very, very good. And I feel it's the kind of save that if he doesn't make, it will be the classic one that he's got beaten on his near post and probably get some criticism. However, the fact that he does make the save, it is a very, very good save. There's certainly no middle ground on this one. Although for us, we would have looked at it.
Which is bonkers because it then becomes an incredible save. It was a brilliant stop. Yeah, yeah. But if it goes in, he's made an error.
If it goes in, people criticize. That's what I'm saying. There's no middle ground. You're either going to make a fantastic save in that moment or you're going to be called out and people are going to say that you've made a mistake and everyone calling for Alisson or whatever it might be. But no, I thought, look, there's massive things thought of him, and certainly the bits I've seen so far, I've been very impressed. And that particular moment, great reactions. For me, and the thing I wrote down was positioning. I just think that he's taken up a very true position. He didn't overcover the near. It was full stretch, and his positioning had to be perfect, and his reactions had to be very good in order to make that save.
Liverpool's third goal from Roberto Firmino. This does involve a goalkeeper because Ben Foster had to make the save. He made the save from the interception from Craig Cathcart, his own man, which then came to Roberto Firmino, who tapped into an empty net. That goal, in my opinion, should not stand.
No, I agree. I agree. I don't know how there's an argument with this. Is this how the rules are now?
This is how the rules are. This is kind of what we loosely discussed a couple of weeks ago, whereby if a player is standing in an offside possession, which impacts what the defender does, and then the ball then becomes active to someone else, that person is not offside. The ball went over the top to Mo Salah. Craig Cathcart has recognised that, intercepted it. As a result, Ben Foster's had to make the save from the interception. But because it never reached Salah, according to Jonathan Pearce, who was on commentary, Salah played no active part. Mm. Well, yes, he absolutely did.
Yeah, because it affected the whole...
Ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I do agree. And when you pointed it out to me, I do agree with you. It felt very, very strange.
Okay, moving on to Villa Park. Aston Villa 2, Wolves 3. Jose Sarr with a save from Danny Ings in the first half. And that was crucial. Even though they went 2-0 down, they then came back to win 3-2.
Yeah, super save. I've written down here, it was his set position. He actually quite far down the line. He's a good 7 yards or so down the line, but he sets very low, quite wide, very low. And I do think that that was key with this, because I think if you set higher, you take up a natural set that you might do from a shot a little bit further out. I just don't think you can get down and wide enough quickly. And the fact that he is that little bit lower, the speed at which he was able to get to his right, it's a lovely save to get the fingertips, put it around the post. And as you mentioned, in the end, it was vital.
And nice to hear Connor Cody after the game. Bit of praise for the goalkeeper coach on set pieces.
Yeah, and this, I made a big note on this because I think, look, we know, certainly with Tony Roberts at Wolves, he will no doubt play a big part in this. And you're seeing this more and more with top goalkeeper coaches in that, yep, they work with the goalkeepers internally and externally, keeping an eye on what else is out there in the market. So many more now, depending on the structure of the club, will then take on certainly defensive set pieces, maybe a few other bits as well, pattern of play, etc., but certainly defensive set pieces. And I really like this because I think from a goalkeeper's perspective, you know, whether it be corners or free kicks against, whatever it might be, you do have such a nice view and you'll have some interesting thoughts on how to defend them. You know, I often talk about free kicks and it winds me up where I feel the details aren't taken care of. Goals, easy goals often that could be avoided because they have the wrong number of people in the wall, or, you know, from a defensive corner, corner against, that they haven't necessarily got the setup right or people aren't maximizing the jobs they do. It's kind of things that really, if you're organized and you get that spot on, and often the goalkeeper coach will have a really good insight into this, you could save 3, 4, 5 goals a season, which of course could be worth a lot of points.
And finally, in the Premier League, Everton 0, West Ham United 1. A couple of moments involving Jordan Pickford, specifically from the goal. He went to collect a ball, an aerial challenge with Mikel Antonio. Some being Kieran Dyer, who's on the Sky Sports panel, suggested that maybe he should have punched it. He tried to collect it, it went off for a corner, and they scored from that subsequent corner.
Yeah, look, really tough situation, tough moment. I'm right in thinking the weather wasn't fantastic for this game. And I saw the one that came in earlier in the game and he had a bit of a fumble, but was able to get on the second ball. What I'd say about this one is that if you're going to consider a ball coming down almost vertically as it was, and you're up against a striker who is your height, maybe slightly bigger, with good spring, to try and jump and catch the ball is very difficult. But then also to try and jump and punch the ball, you've got very little potential to get good purchase on the punch. You're only really going to dolly it a few yards away. So naturally, you're always going to try and catch it. Now, unless you can get directly underneath the flight of the ball, you're never, ever going to be able to get it at the highest point. You're always going to be leaning forward slightly. So yeah, it's just a tough one. You know, I think that he'll be a little bit frustrated that he wasn't able to gather it. Do I think it was a foul? Probably not. I think that Antonio does get a slightly better position, gets his body in a good place in order to jump and get ahead to it. Do I think that Jordan Pickford could punch it? I mean, what he could probably do is punch it out for a corner, but then we've still got the same result anyway, and they score from the corner. So, yeah, look, it's one that it doesn't look particularly tidy. In the end, he kind of gets away with it and then doesn't because of the resulting corner. But I do think it is a very, very difficult one, despite the fact that it doesn't look particularly good.
It is the Championship rundown, and Lee Nichols, Richard, with a clean sheet and some decent stops for Huddersfield in their win over Hull. Matt Ingram, not too bad either, although he was called out for that opener.
Yeah, I felt a bit sorry for him on this one. Again, corner coming in, whipped into your near post, and you've got somebody all over you. I do wonder whether this is a foul. And again, this is very much from a goalkeeper's perspective, but we've all been there. You stood there at a corner. Someone stood right in front of you. They're spreading their arms. They're doing everything they can to pen you in. Matt Ingram actually does quite well to escape that and to be able to lean towards the near post and get his fist to it. But he's never quite in control of his body. So as he does get his fist to it, he can't direct it the way that he wants to. And of course, then you're just hopeful that your defender's clear it and it's not pointed out. But the fact that it goes up in the air and goes in the goal, then of course people are going to question it. But once again, I just think it's a very, very tough one. You're never going to catch that, and it's so difficult to wrestle your way out of that, of being penned in. So a tough moment, but he certainly more than made up for it with the save that he made late on. Again, ball going over his head and the agility shown, similarities to Tim Krul's save actually, to be honest. Fantastic save. And the save from Lee Nichols. Yeah, this should be a goal. You know, it's up over the wall, up, over and down. Mm-hmm. There we go. Up, over and down with pace, flying in the corner. And the speed at which he gets across, doesn't guess, takes up a good position, moves sharp to his right. Great spring. Good hands, excellent save.
He's done well, hasn't he, Nichols, really well. Stepping in at Huddersfield?
Really well, because I think, and you've got to give credit to goalkeeper coach Paul Clements. I think that there's, you know, certainly in the summer, you were looking at who was out there, which goalkeepers were out of contract. Now, on paper, Lee Nichols had spent the majority of the season not playing at MK. Now, part of that might have been down to the fact that he was running down his contract. But certainly on paper, I think that a lot of Huddersfield, maybe fans, might have seen that and been a little bit underwhelmed, potentially. No disrespect. But certainly, they'll be absolutely delighted with what they've seen so far. He's been phenomenal. You know, hasn't given Schofield a look in, really, since he's claimed that spot. And you have to give the goalkeeper coach credit, because he wouldn't necessarily have been on that many radars. But that's real intense homework and figuring out the kind of goalkeeper that could fit into the style of football that you want to play. And of course, Huddersfield, you know, trying to play that much more, and Lee Nichols being as good with his feet as he is. So huge credit to the goalkeeper coach for this one.
Simon Sluga with a penalty save from Jed Wallace as Luton won at Millwall. And Dan Iverson, just so solid for Preston. It was goalless against Derby, but it could have easily been more.
Yeah, it could. And to talk about Dan Iverson first, yeah, excellent. You know, and he's been excellent again this season, excellent last season. Just really, really powerful. Plays with a lovely energy, looks so bright all the time. Made a few very good saves here. I think the final save was my favourite. And the ball has hit the bar and actually gets an incredible dive away. I know it's ridiculous to kind of look, but the power in which he gets to his dive to his left hits the floor. It's the speed at which he gets up and sets in order to make the follow-up save. You actually consider the time it's taken for him to dive, hit the floor, get up, make the next save. Hasn't got much reaction time at all, but certainly one of the most athletic goalkeepers I've seen for a long time.
Birmingham lost 1-0 to West Brom. This one could have also been more had it not been for a top reaction stop from Matty Sarkic. Cole Bartley, the man, denied. Another one of those close camera angles where you see the player say, how? How has he saved that?
Yeah, and it's one. Ball's whipped in from the corner. Considers coming, makes the right decision, would have been in traffic, makes the right decision to drop, just about gets his set in time. And yeah, this should beat him. And you talk about the perfect parry. There is nowhere else he can parry this and it not end up as a goal. He gets just enough to get it round the post. The guy coming in can only meet it as it's just crept out of play. Just the perfect save.
Thomas Kaminski, an own goal. Another own goal in the EFL. So harsh, these ones. It was two apiece in the end with Coventry. They were 2-0 up, Blackburn.
Yeah, well, we spoke about the Joe Lumley one, and the difference between these two, but it proves the point, is that the Joe Lumley one smashed it, it's hit the post, he hasn't moved, he's just watched it hit the post, comes back, hits him and goes in. This one is different. Kaminski's decided to get a dive away, but it's the same outcome, hits the post, hits him and goes in. And I think the point here is that, look, sometimes there isn't necessarily a right or wrong thing to do. You know, in a perfect world, you'd always try and get a dive away if you could. But as Kaminski shows here, gets a good dive away, isn't quite able to get a hand on it, yet hits the post. And of all places, it could have hit him. With Joe Lumley, I think it was like the hip or whatever.
It was head.
Oh, was it head? Sorry, yeah. Of course it was. And then it flew in. This one was almost more frustrating because it kind of hits his foot and it just squirms over the line right in the corner. Incredibly unlucky. Absolutely nothing you can do. But we're certainly seeing a few more of these recently.
And finally, Marek Rodak brought back for Fulham. They won 4-1 against QPR, their rivals. But just an interesting one, because he's come in to replace Paolo Gazzaniga. We'll see how permanent this one is. But two seasons ago, with Scott Parker at the helm with their season in the Championship, where they went back up into the Premier League, at exactly the same stage of the season, Parker replaced Bettinelli with Rodak.
And we know how that ended. Mm. So there you go. I think that Marek Rodak, for me, is one of the most unfortunate goalkeepers not to have had a run in the Premier League last season and not to have started this season. What more can you do than come in to a Championship team, get your team promotion, brilliant throughout the season, and all of a sudden you find yourselves a number two in the Premier League and a number two when you get relegated? Baffles me. But the fact that he's back in, no doubt we'll see what Marek Rodak's about again, because he is a superb goalkeeper.
He absolutely is. On to the best of the rest from the EFL. Ron Hoffman making a name for himself now at Sunderland. Two match-winning saves from Jack Tucker and Robbie McKenzie. Sunderland winning at Gillingham.
Yeah, excellent. The header in particular, wanted to highlight that because it was a really unusual moment. The first save to his right, fantastic. But the header, it's like a header from an angle with incredible power dipping in the far corner. And I think for me, the reason I'm so impressed is that because it's so unexpected, it's the reactions that you need to have and be able to reposition. And he got himself back very quickly, got up, big top hand to put it around the post. But certainly massive win, not an easy place to go. And he's certainly making a huge name for himself.
Toby Savin and Scott Flinders both doing a job in Cheltenham's 1-0 win over Accrington.
Yeah, Toby Savin, good save through bodies as well to his left-hand side. It's always difficult because you lose flight of the ball ever so slightly as it's going through those bodies and you have to wrestle your way in order to make the save. Thought that was very good. And Flinders, credit to him, keeps on going. And this save in particular, excellent position, good reactions and a very good save with his foot.
Into League Two, Mark Howard back in the game and back saving penalties. Kieran Morris of Tranmere denied late on. Not enough, however, the visitors left the game as 1-0 victors. It could have been one apiece too had Ross Doohan not produced a fantastic save from John Mellish.
Yeah, a few saves to talk about there. First and foremost, Mark Howard, you say great to see him playing again. I know he was out of contract for a little while, but we certainly know what he brings to the table and very good to make a penalty save in this one. But the one I do want to talk about is Ross Doohan and the save in particular because of his movement prior to it, where there is that temptation. Do you come and try and affect play? Ball's crossed in. It was the quick decision to drop, set, the reactions then down low to his left to then get a foot to it and get it around the post. I thought it was really top, top goalkeeping and certainly a name that we've mentioned now a couple of times, I feel, in the pod. So credit to him. He's certainly making a bit of an impact at Tranmere.
I feel like Mark Howard bided his time as well to get that move. He was out of contract, like you said, at Scunthorpe, got released. He was training with Wigan, went in there and for a few weeks and then waited for an opportunity. The one at Carlisle has now come up. I actually think as well, a couple of seasons ago, he had an emergency loan at Salford from memory. He'd been out injured for a long time, came back in, first game, saved a penalty.
Yeah, well, I think what you find with goalkeepers as you get that little bit older is that when maybe you don't need a contract. And what I mean by that is maybe financially or maybe the club, at that point you might have a family settled, etc. It might not necessarily fit your lifestyle at that point. It kind of changes a bit. And then you can be that little bit more patient and wait for the right thing to come up. And I certainly think this is a good example. I believe the location suits him to an extent. The fact that he is going in to play, he obviously still has a real hunger to play. So, you know, it ticks enough boxes for him to then go forward and do it. And what you often find is, and there's still a few goalkeepers out there now that are unattached. Now, it'll either be a case that over the next few weeks, there might be another injury or something happens where they get another contract, or it might just be that it doesn't happen. And this is what often happens. And one of the biggest ways in which a goalkeeper or any player will retire is that they give it a little bit more time, a little bit more time, keep themselves fit. All of a sudden, it doesn't happen. And come November, December time, they finally make the decision that enough's enough. I'm going to call it a day.
Well, interestingly, we're going to get onto what could have been a similar scenario to that in a moment. But first, this would have been a keeper caper, but we've got another one of those afterwards. Dylan Bahambula completing Oldham's 3-0 rout of Stevenage. Joseph Anang, quite a way out of his goal.
Yeah, what I would say about this, it appeared to be the last minute of the game. They're chasing the game. They're 2-0 down. I think we've all been there where you take up maybe an unrealistic position. You know, you're stood almost on the halfway line at times because you're just trying to encourage the team or get the ball in the net, however you do it. And you often see crazy moments like this. And it was just quite a funny passage of play, really, because firstly, the ball's played over. You've got Anang, who's 40, 45 yards from goal on the angle, trying to make the challenge, isn't able to do so. Then the ball's played inside. Then it's kind of rolled towards goal, and one of the defenders just collapses on the floor.
It was like it was in slow motion from the moment it deceived Anang.
Yeah.
My word.
Just thereafter. It was that as the ball's rolling in the goal, and you can see him on the floor, almost trying to head it round the post. It was very, very odd. So, look, not a moment that looks fantastic, but what I would say is that I fully get it because we have all been there. You're 2-0 down, last minute. What's the worst that can happen? You're so advanced, and that's why Anang got caught out in the way that he did.
And 500 up for Glenn Morris. So this is what I was referring to a moment ago, because it's another great goalkeeping story, this, isn't it? He was released from Gillingham. It was Gillingham, wasn't it? And went to Crawley as a player coach. So he went in as a player coach 2016. At the time, hadn't even made 300 career appearances. He's now made 500. He's won Player of the Year numerous times. He got given his break. And Yeah, what a goalkeeper.
Yeah, really is. And do you know what? Another very, very solid performance, which he'll be frustrated in the end because the goal that did beat him, it's one of those horrible ones where I think the defender's tried to clear it, hasn't got it away. Ball's looped up. He's tried to come out and he's kind of got muscled off it. Maybe a foul. I think he'll be a little bit frustrated that maybe he didn't get the call. And obviously in the end, the ball ends up in the net, unfortunately. But the two saves he made prior to that, and again, we keep mentioning age and we've done that a few times, but the save he made up to his left, you wouldn't have that down for a goalkeeper that's in their mid-30s. You know, brilliant spring up to his left, very, very powerful. And the tip over the bar as well. The athleticism that he shows gives you the impression that he could certainly go on for a few more years. I suppose from a personal point of view, and when I see the likes of Glenn Morris, when I see the likes of Ben Foster, of course, Andy Lonergan, like lads that I was in and around, and to see them still going now, me sat here having retired 6-7 years ago or whatever it is, to see them still going and to do it at the level that they're doing it, I can only take my hat off to them because it is phenomenal. I know how I feel on a daily basis.
Just think how many career appearances you could have right now, sitting here right now, if you'd carried on.
I know.
What did you get to?
199.
Yes. Have we done
How do you not know that? 199.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Mate, that's ridiculous. Mm. Surely you just wanted to hang on for a season just to complete it. Does that not really affect you? That would drive me insane.
What do you mean affect me? Like, what in later not, life? Do I wake up every day
like
thinking
it's like a striker getting to 99 goals. You're like, well, I've got to play for another season because I have to make the 100.
No, 199. I'm very comfortable with it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. That should be the title of your book, 199. we should also mention Dean Boutsanis, the Sutton United goalkeeper, who is playing very, very well at the moment. Saved a penalty from Tom Nichols and then a looping header right at the end from Ludwig Franzelet.
Yeah, the save under the bar, which from that guy. What was the name again?
Ludwig Franzelet.
That one, yeah. The save under the bar in particular. Penalty save, excellent. But no, he's another one we've mentioned several times now on the podcast. I heard his name years ago. So it's nice to see him come back to the fore and certainly taking his opportunity in the league in a big, big way. But the save under the bar, again, speed at which he's been able to react to this, get himself up to the ball, show great power, athleticism. It's a top, top save and in the end, a vital one.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper caper.
Right, a keeper caper to almost finish, Richard. No clean sheet club this week. We've been busy men. Weddings, walks, all sorts.
Yes.
So we'll be back next week. We'll be back up and running with usual Goalkeepers Union podcast between the sticks format. Some GKPIs as well.
Absolutely.
Some commentary
and
corners.
And it will be on a Monday as well.
It will be on a Monday as well. Yes, it is Tuesday today, of course isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so a keeper caper.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you've seen this. You may have done, but if not, this could be quite funny to do this in real time.
Okay, so you've been doing the rounds?
It has been doing the rounds. We were actually, I was notified to it by a few listeners, actually, who sent some in. Stephen Waite sent one in. Johnny Parker sent one in.
Oh, yeah.
Not heard from him before.
Okay.
So that's a new one.
Excellent.
And a couple of others too, which was lovely. So thank you for that.
Was this on Twitter, was it?
Sorry.
Contact?
Very funny. Yeah.
Why is it still not active?
Still not active. Mm. You need to speak to Twitter because I've tried. I'm going to keep trying. In fact, listeners, if you can start a petition right now, that would really help us.
Maybe if you want to do it via my account, I've got one of those blue ticks. Maybe that'll help.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They go, oh yeah, that guy got 199 career appearances. Why didn't he just stay on? One more. Glenn Torren goalkeeper, Aaron McCary, is shown a red card, and this is why.
Okay, let me have a look.
Here we go.
Okay, I'll try and describe what I can see. I haven't seen this before. I must make that point. So even if this has been doing the rounds, certainly hasn't to me. Comes out, nothing he can do there. Ball has beaten him, so one-on-one, slid under him. It's a good finish. So I'm awaiting the red card. They're looking. Something's going on. And a player is down.
So you can't really tell anything yet, can you?
No. So we're now seeing a different angle. So the goalkeeper looked a little bit annoyed. So the ball has beaten him. Goalkeeper has run over to his player. Wow. He's gone over to his player and... What is he doing? That is incredible. He's gone over to his own player and effectively pushed him very hard, arguably punched him in the face.
Punched him in the face and then dragged him up.
Dragged him up.
By the scruff of the neck. I think they'll show it again here. Here we go. Here's another replay for you.
he's obviously frustrated, but he's screaming at him, and he's just taking him out, his own player. I mean, we've all been frustrated by our defenders before, and we've screamed and shouted them from time to time, but I don't think I've ever got to the point where I've wanted to go and lay them out.
Just unbelievable, isn't it? The manager said after the game, we're a close-knit group here. We don't like to see that sort of thing. Perhaps you're not as close-knit as you think you are.
You're obviously not. There's a few cliques in that dressing room, I'd argue.
They have come out again today, I think, or yesterday, and said he's not going to be sacked.
Right.
So he will receive punishment, of course, but he won't be sacked by his club. They'll sort it out in the dressing room. He did go into the dressing room after the game and hold his hands up and say, you know, lads, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
We know that. Quite clear you made a mistake. So, yeah, just unbelievable footage.
And then swing those hands after he held them up.
Yeah.
Look, the thing that makes me not laugh, I shouldn't say that, but it's like that where you mention a striker goes down for a penalty. They're looking for a penalty. And then the other player's like picking them up. Like, come on, you're not injured or you're not down. You're fine. Come on. Then you're picking the players up and the player on the floor is getting annoyed. That's basically what's happened there. He's gone over there, struck him in the face. He's gone down and the goalkeeper's effectively trying to pick him up as if he's feigning injury.
Crazy times.
That's a great keeper caper.
There we go.
What
a way to finish. And we will as well just send our best wishes to Dan Barden, the Norwich City goalkeeper, young lad currently on loan with Livingston, who did reveal just this week that he has been diagnosed with testicular cancer. So on behalf of the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Dan, we are thinking of you.
No, absolutely. You know, certainly from a goalkeeping perspective, Dan Barden, especially the strides forward that he's made over the last couple of years, brilliant for Norwich when he did step in, and of course getting a little bit of international recognition as well. So yeah, just want to send him our very, very best from the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Okay, Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks, Keepers
Away.